Okay, bring him up. Okay, Parshas Vayigash from the year Tafshin Beis, end of 1941. And the Rebbe wants to teach us about talking to Hashem. Davening. So the Parsha begins, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Vayomer Bi Adoni. I'm going to read out of the Chumash because the Rebbe just summarizes the Psukim. Yehuda approaches Yosef, very, very intense moment. Binyamin is about to be taken away into captivity. And Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Yehuda steps up. Vayomer Bi Adoni. I please my master. Yida birna avdecha davar ba'oznei Adoni. Let me speak something into your ears. Va'al yichar apcha ba'avdecha. And don't get angry at me. Ki chamoicha kaparo, because you're just like Paro. And if you look in the Midrashim say there's a lot of tension in these words. It's Yosef and Yehuda, it's Mashiach ben Yosef, it's Mashiach ben David, it's a lot of things happening. It's Yehuda begging, like an impoverished person, it's Yehuda threatening. There's a lot of layers to this encounter, this conversation. But he retells the story, he says, listen, you know, you asked about our family, and I told you about our brother, and I brought my brother here, and now he's going to be taken into captivity, and what's going to be with our... You asked if my father's alive, and if he's well, and this is going to kill him. Right? When my father hears about this, it's going to be the end of him. And as Yosef is listening to these words, eventually Yosef's heart breaks, and he reveals himself to his brothers. But what the Rebbe's bothered by is that it seems to switch back and forth throughout this, you know, throughout this monologue by Yehuda, it seems to switch back and forth from the second person and third person. Right? Meaning he's speaking very directly to Yosef, and sometimes he's speaking in the third person, in the more detached third person. Right? So if I say, right, how are you? That's called second person. If I say, how is Jonathan? Speaking to him, so that's third person. So Yosef keeps going back, Yehuda keeps going back and forth between addressing Yosef as you said this and you said that versus, you know, Adoni, my master, right? Talking about him as if he's speaking in a detached way in third person. How are you? How is the Rosh Hashiva doing this morning? Right? That's called third person. So says the Rebbe, Navin lama loksiv el Yosef rak elav. Vayigash elav Yehuda. Yehuda approached him. It doesn't say he approached Yosef. It says, Vayigash Elav. Now, obviously, it's talking. We know who Yehuda's approaching. We read last week's Parsha. It left off with a lot of tension. Vagam shezek koi ala Parsha de la El Shadibar El Yosef. And even though, obviously, in the previous Parsha, we know who Yehuda is speaking to, there's no question who. Right? Nonetheless, why is it Vayigash Elav? Why does it say Vayigash El Yosef? And if you'll tell me, well, because we already know he's already standing there, already talking, it doesn't have to say Yehuda spoke to Yosef, because we know that from the end of the Parsha last week, Yosef was talking and now Yehuda is responding. So then what's the Vayigash? He approached. What did he approach? What did he approach? He was there already. So again, Pashup Shah, you could say he approached, he took a few steps forward, that's why he says, can I speak into your ear? I kind of want to whisper this to you. Whispering it to someone's ear is a way of trying to speak to them in a very deep way. I want it to penetrate deeply into their essence. I want you to hear, right? I want you to hear the pain in my voice. But what's the Vayigash? Hadibar I love. He's already talking to him. V'chein mahu ha'inyin shekama pa'amim shina dibura milashon nistar lilashon nocheach uminocheach lenistar. And why does he keep changing his speech? He's switching back and forth from nistar from the third person to nocheach, to the second person. Right? Nocheach means present. So why does he keep switching? As if he's talking about Yosef, and then he's talking to Yosef. And then he goes back from nocheach to nistar. Right? Every time we daven, we grapple with this. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Baruch Ata, first I say you. Talk to Hashem, you. And then I talk about Hashem. Hashem, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech HaOlam. I describe Hashem as if, again, I'm talking about some, you know, third party. I'm not talking directly to Hashem. And we've explained in the past that that's part of the Inyan. Rav Shimon Schwab explains why we shuckle when we daven. Because we draw close, and then we're nervous of overstepping. I want to be close to Hashem. I want to be able to talk to Hashem straight. But I'm scared. It's Hashem. And I need to hold myself back to make sure that I don't overstep and get too friendly with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in a way that takes away the respect that I want to give Hashem. Okay, so these are the questions. Why does it say love? Why doesn't it say El Yosef? Why does it say Vayigash? He's already standing there. And why does it keep switching back and forth from the third person to the second person and back and forth? Aval Isa meharav hakadosh ish aloki harav Rav Doiv. Sefer Tzadik hakadosh levrach. Rav Doiv Ber, the Halig HaMagid of Mezrich. This is an idea we saw a lot last year. We've seen it already once this year in Parshas Ki Tetzei. Shezehu, on the pasuk, va'ata kohen la'olam. Right? We should know this vart by now. Magid of Mezrich is vart on va'ata kohen la'olam. You are a priest forever. What it means is that kohen, the concept of kohen, which is bechinas chesed, kohen, which is the midah, kohanim represent the midah, the svira of chesed. We've pointed out that chesed is gematria 72, plus the three letters is 75, gematria kohen. So va'ata kohen la'olam, says the Magid of Medrash, the fact that we're able to say ata to Hashem, that is kohen la'olam, that is the biggest chesed in the world. That God allows us to be close with Him. We could spend our whole life only talking about being in awe of Hashem, being afraid of Hashem, giving respect to Hashem. We could focus all day on Malkeinu, 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 and never say Avinu, Malkeinu. But Hashem says, no, Avinu, Avinu, I'm close to you. I'm like a loving father. I'm like a good friend. Right? Talk to me. Talk straight. Say Ata. So Ata, Kohen La'olam. The fact that Hashem allows us to say Baruch Ata, you. Again, I wouldn't even talk to a distinguished rabbi like that. But I could say to Hashem, you. Zeu Chesed Hashem She'ish HaYisraeli Yochel Lomer LaHashem Ata. What an amazing chesed that Hashem allows us to say ata to Him. Ata is kohen la'olam. Right? Ata is like the biggest chesed in the world. Okay.
What's the actual use for that pasuk?
What does the pasuk mean?
Like where is it?
What do you mean, where is it used?
I'm saying it's referring to somebody who's actually...
Well, let's look at... So hold on, let's look for a second. Can you pull it up for a second? Someone pull up the pasuk on Safaria. Let's look at the context. Tehil and Perek Kuf Yud. Va'ata kohen la'olam. Your service is forever. Va'ata kohen la'olam. Let's see. There's a sense of kuna. Rashi in Chumash says that kohen means a servant. Right? So ata kohen la'olam refers to this ongoing avodas Hashem that a Jew is supposed to live with. Right? But va'ata kohen la'olam b'derech chasidus means that the word ata is the greatest chesed in the world. Okay, that's the Magid of Mezrich Shizvar. Okay. So now, let's apply it to how we also approach Melech, not just the way that Yehuda was approaching Yosef, but the way that we approach Hashem. Lefi matzaveinu akatan hu, according to our difficult situation, says the Rebbe. Ki lomar lemi lasho nocheach, yecholim rak kishaish shemedabrim elav hu lifnei hamedabrim. You could talk about a person in third person if they're not present. We could talk about someone, right? We could say, oh, I heard a shiur from Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz. Right? So I could talk about, but I can't say you to him if he's not present. Can't talk in the present, in the second person, if the person is not in the room, is not in front of you. So again, kilomar lemi lashon nocheach, to say, to talk to a person in second person, yecholim rakisha ish medaber melav, that's only possible when the person who you're speaking to is lifnei hamedaber, is present. He's standing there. V'gam hamedaber hu negdo v'lo panu orev zelazah. And they have to be facing each other. They have to be looking at each other. Well, if we're standing back to back and I say, oh, how are you? Who am I talking to? So by definition, if I'm talking to a person in the second person, I'm talking directly to someone. It means they're present. It means Aleph, that they're here. And B, we're facing each other. V'gam hamedaber hu negdo v'lo panu orev zelazah. He's right in front of you, right? You haven't turned your necks to one another. You haven't turned your backs on each other. So when the Anshei Knesset HaGedola established, when they were establishing tefillah, when they were establishing brachos, and they established that it's okay for a Jew to say Baruch Ata, Ata, it must be who, v'pnei shehu yisbarach nimtza nocheach isha yisraeli panim el panim. It must be. There's only one conclusion. It must be. If I'm talking to Hashem in the language of Baruch Ata, even though I don't see God, and sometimes I might feel emotionally distant from Hashem, but from the fact that Chazal established that that's how we talk in davening, and that's how we talk in brachos, it must be that Hashem is present, and it must be that we're face to face. It must be kilo, I'm standing, shuvisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. That's exactly what David HaMelech is telling us in Tehillim, right? Be in the presence of Hashem. V'hi b'chinas chesed kel, and this is again part of the kindness of Hashem, the ongoing kindness of Hashem, that Hashem is always available to us to say Ata. Again, we temper that with Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. We retreat, right? But the starting point of every bracha, the starting point of our tefillah is Baruch Ata.
It's like the shuckling,
right? And that's the right. That's the shuckling. We draw close and we pull back. Okay? But by definition, to say Ata, it has to be the person who's present, it has to be that we're facing each other. Now, Aval, he says in the second to last paragraph on page Reshut Gimel, Aval, Gam ha'ish ha'mispalel tzarech sholo lifnos orev. When we daven, we also have to, again, it's a two-way street. If I want to say you, right, so that means I have to be present also, and I have to be facing also. I want to talk directly to you, so I need to be here and you need to be here, and we both need to be facing each other. So the mispalel, the one who's davening, needs to make sure that he's not turning his neck, that he's not turning his back. Raklahamsias atzmo, rather to present himself, to be fully present, bimachshava ratzon velev elav yisbarach, that I'm here in my mind, I'm here in my desire, I'm here in my heart, I'm emotionally present. Sheyucho lomar ata elav yisbar. Right? I mean, Hashem is present, Hashem is here, but I also have to be here to make my words make sense. Va'afilu im lo b'chol ha'tvila yachol ha'ish l'hamsi es atzma l'fnei Hashem. And if you'll tell me, says the Rabbi, it's hard to feel like you're in the presence of Hashem the entire time, of course it is. We all drop in and out of, you know, connectivity during Shmona Esrei, during throughout davening. Rak be'ez mekomos v'tfila yesh shemargish echiilu niskavitz kula makom echad elav yisbarach. So even if you're not able to go the whole davening, but there are certain moments within davening that a person, right, is niskavitz kula al makom echad, where literally he shrivels up into one place. In other words, his whole being is contracted into that. Into that word, into that moment, into that bracha of Shmona Esrei that for whatever reason you're connecting to. Because you just heard that someone's sick and you're davening with more kavana. Or because you have a job interview that day and you want to make sure that you have parnasa. Right? So there are moments in tefillah, there are places, right? Experiences within tefillah where a person contracts himself into that single moment of God awareness. U'lisham nimshach kulo ata. And he draws from that. He continues to draw from that and to take from that as he moves on from there. So the Rebbe is saying, at the very least, again, you may not be able to hold cup the entire davening, but when you say the word Ata, at least for a moment, picture yourself in the presence of Hashem. Have a face-to-face encounter with Hashem. Or afilu, three lines from the bottom, kishomar gishrak ratzon lios nimshach elav. Or sometimes a person, right, just wants to be close to him. He wants to feel something more than he's feeling. Va'omer v'yached levaveinu la'avo liras shemecha. And he's saying the right words. He says, Hashem, please, yached levaveinu, align my heart that I should have genuine feelings of ava and yira. I don't want to be a robot. I don't want to be checked out, half asleep all the time. I want to connect. Ve'eino margish od kol kach ava v'yira elav yizbach. He's saying the right words, even though he's not 100% feeling it right now. Raksha'al kolpanim yeshlo tshuka. But he has a longing, a desire. She'elo ava v'yira chazakam elav yizbach. He wants to. He's asking Hashem. Right? The words are sincere. Not the feeling is not sincere because it's not there, but he really wants it. He's saying with an honest expression, I want to feel close to you. There were times in my life, Hashem, where I had much more awe of your presence, and I don't feel that right now. So he's davening for that. Or there were times where I felt much more your love, Hashem, and I don't feel that right now, and I want to feel that. I want to connect to that. Turn the page. Achimi godel tshuka zo margishuv kanizkar leel. Right. From that place of such longing, from the greatness of that longing, he starts to feel, because he really wants it, and it connects, right? The fact that he's at least admitting to himself that he wants to be connected to Hashem, that itself creates a sense of feeling. And then, nimshach kulo elav yizbarach, and he's drawn in from that. U'mishtokek shizkar ve'elav ba'ava v'yira, and he longs further to draw close to Hashem with love and with awe. As gam zo hi dveikus al kopanim beregazim. That too is considered a moment of what? Of dveikus, of a face-to-face encounter. That's shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamir. The fact that he's really asking for something. That's very chashiv. Or those moments, those breakthrough moments where he actually feels he's in the presence of Hashem. That's very chashiv. That's a real thing. Right? And our job is to what? Even though we're going to be dropping in and out, again, of connection with Hashem, the goal is to try to be as present as we can be. Noichach pnei Hashem. To speak in lashon nocheach, to speak in the second person, to have the confidence that when I say baruch ata, I say, wow, what an awesome schus, right? What a revelation! The fact that I'm saying ata, I wouldn't say ata to someone who's not in the room. It must be that Hashem is in front of me. It must be we're facing each other. V'hinei isa b'sefer hakadosh beis Aaron shezeh hanis. And this serves, Zahanes, I think, means like this is the proof. Right? Or this is like the litmus test. The Pasuk says, Ki karov alecha davar ma'od b'fichel uvilvav chalasoso. The matter is very close to you. It's in your mouth, it's in your heart to perform it. So says the Beis Aharon, an amazing thing. Ksiv mi kodem b'fichel v'achar kach bilvavcha. First it says, in your mouth, on your lips, and then it says in your heart. And the Beis Aharon says that's a big schus. Because if I had to start with what? Getting my heart into the right place before I ever open my mouth. If nichtav mikodem bilvavcha shiyaschil miyad belev, if I have to what? Bring my heart to davening in the morning when I'm half asleep at shacharis, putting on my tefillin. If my heart's not in it, then Hashem says go away. If those are the rules of the game, mihu asher haya yachol liskos, who would be zocha to such a thing? But what the pasuk tells us is that we're allowed to do the opposite. V'ficha uvavavcha. I can go from peh to lev. I can go from peh to lev. I can start talking and hope that by getting the motor running, by getting my lips moving, right? By starting to say the words, hopefully at some point I'll like wake up for a second and I'll pay attention to a particular phrase that I'm saying and I'll feel something in my heart. So what a schus, what a great gift that Hashem gave us, that He allows us to put the peh before the lev. Right? You're supposed to think before you speak. But Hashem in His kindness says, no, kikar v'lecha dar ma'od, Hashem said, I made our relationship so accessible that the ficha comes before the vavavcha. Since Hashem in the pasuk put the word picha first, even if the start of my davening is not with heart, and again, sometimes we say like, oh, what's the point of davening because I'm not, right? God desires the heart, and my heart's not in it, so I'm not going to daven. Sometimes we have to use the actions to motivate the emotions. So if the haschalas of the tefillah is heartless, then with an emunah pshuta and a holy simplicity, say the words alone, and then it'll wake up your heart. That's permission that Hashem has given us. So now let's go back to Yehuda and Yosef. Because the encounter of Yehuda and Yosef is really, again, on some cosmic level, the encounter of every Yehudi, right, with a Kadosh Baruch. Comparing Yosef to Hashem, yeah, that's what Chazal do. That's what the Svarim HaKadoshim do. Vayigash Elav Yehuda is a Jew approaching his Creator. Why is Yosef the embodiment of Hashem in this parable? It's a good question. But a Yehudi approaches his Creator. V'zeo shemaram bizlanu vayigash Elav Yehuda. Ki Isa b'medrash, it says in the Medrash, on these sukkim, these are very, very deep sukkim. The Medrash says, quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, Tapuche zahav, golden apples, v'maschios kosef, in silver containers. In silver boxes. Davur al afnav is like a matter that is spoken in its proper place. Afnav means like in the right way. Right? A davar davur al afnav. A word that hits home is like what? Is like a what? Is like a golden apple in a silver box. What's this image of a golden apple in a silver box? The Rishonim actually already explained this pasuk. But I saw in Rav Moshe Wolfson's Perish on Tanya, he says that part of the idea, it's basically a comment on the Rambam if I remember correctly. But the basic idea is, imagine I showed you a beautiful silver box. Imagine I came to Shir today, I had this beautiful silver box, right, with this intricate artistic design on it. And I said, what do you think about this box? Right? It's beautiful. It's unbelievable. Right? It's very valuable. You can see that it's very valuable? Yeah, I can see it's very valuable. I can see it's worth a lot of money. I can see it's a collector's item. Right? So what if I said to you, you don't realize how valuable this is? What do you mean? I can see. I know the price of silver. I can figure it out, da 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 da. Right? No, you don't. I'm telling you, you don't appreciate how valuable this is. So you say back to me, well, should see. Why don't I? What are you saying? I see what it is. I say, no, you don't. And I open it up, and inside are these beautiful, even more expensive golden apples. These little artistic, golden apples, right? Made out of pure gold. He said, whoa, I thought, if I would have tried to sell this silver box, I would have sold it way below the market price, because I didn't realize that if you dig a little deeper, if you open the box and you look inside, there's actually something beyond the silver, there's something golden. So the same idea, says the Medrash, right? Words have the ability to operate on many different levels. Vayigash Elav Yehuda, when Chazal are busy trying to unpack Yehuda's words, it's really meramis to us that anytime a Jew opens his mouth, We don't even realize what we're saying. Sometimes we're saying prophetic things and we don't even chop our own words, the depth of our own words. Whether it means we don't understand or appreciate how valuable our words are, right? In the sense that, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just reading a Mishnah and I don't realize that Mishnah has an impact on the cosmos, on all of the olamos. Or maybe I'm saying something, right? And it has many levels of intention to it. So Vayigash Elav Yehuda, the Medrash says, this is like the golden apples in the silver box. So too, a word that is well spoken, a measured word. Shedivrei Yehuda meramzim lakam upon him. The words of Yehuda hint to many, many things. And the Medrash explains some of those many things. So says our Rebbe, the Holy Piazetzner Rebbe, says the Holy Eish Kodesh, Lufia Nizkar Leal, based on what we explained above, let's explain. Merameis lanu esedra tefillah. What is Yehuda teaching us? In his encounter with Yosef, as he drops in and out of presence from Nocheach to Nistar, from Nistar to Nocheach, from second person to third person to third person to second person. He's talking at Yosef, he's talking to Yosef. He's teaching us what it means to daven. Kiyesh hagasha litfila. We ask the question, why does it say Vayigash? What do you need the word Vayigash for? You're already there. Why do you have to say Vayigash? Why did they say Vayigash? And the answer is, Because Vayigash, right, a person can be physically there, but not emotionally there. I have to draw close. I have to gather myself. I have to present myself. V'agam sheyesh lefam she'ena ish yochel ledaber v'reishas tfilaso v'lasho nocheach elav yisbarach. If at the beginning a person is not able to speak directly to Hashem, rak v'chinas elav, v'chinas nistar, speaking at Hashem, not to Hashem, gam oz kishmispal el bom lo be'emsa tfilaso rigaim shel hisgalus v'hiskarvus v'chinas nocheach. But I hope, I work towards what? That over the course of the davening, like Yehuda's encounter with Yosef, where he starts off talking at him, and then he starts talking to him, talking with him, so too in our davening, in the middle of our davening, we'll also have those rigaim shel hisgalus, those moments of revelation, those moments of hiskarvus, those moments where we feel like, I can really say Baruch Atan, I mean it. But it starts with what? It starts with a vayigash. It starts with approaching Hashem in an honest way. Val yichar apcha ba'avdecha, and Yehuda says to Yosef, please don't be angry with your servant. Lashon nocheach. Right? He doesn't say, don't be angry with the servant of his majesty. He says, don't be angry with your servant. He says, you, your servant. He's talking directly to him. Lashon nocheach. Vishuv nista mimenu. But then he reverts. He goes back to the third person. And he says, Adoni sha'al le'savet dav. He doesn't say, you asked your servant. He says, my master asked his servant, referring to himself. Referring to Yosef as the master. Vishuv nocheach. And then he goes back to the what? The second person. And he says, you said this, and you said that. Aval levesof, ba'el eskarvus v'sgalus v'chinas ata v'nocheach. When it's all said and done, right? When it's all said and done, there's a sense of what? There was a sense that there was a sense of ata here. Maybe there was sometimes more, sometimes less, right? But there was a sense that I said at some point in my davening, when I said you to Hashem, I really meant it. I felt that I was talking to you, and you care about me. You were listening, and I was present, and you were present with me. And I'm not speaking to nothing, to no one. I'm speaking to the Creator of the world, who cares deeply about me and is listening to me. Last paragraph on the page. Aval zeh hakol rak ha'asher vayigash. But as we emphasize, a Jew has to what? It could only happen if there's a real vayigash. If there's a real vayigash. I have to be prepared to what? To work hard, to present myself before Hashem. Kishayinu espal ba'akrai. I can't daven just because I'm habituated towards davening. It's my minhag to daven. It's what I do. Why do you do it? I don't know. Just do it. And everything is very casual. It's a cry. It's regilus. I do it just by rote. I'm a robot. No, that's not going to work. Ragoshu miskarevelam. I have to, at the very least, right, when I take my three steps back to start my Shemoneh Esrei, I pause just for a second. Out to walk in front of the Creator of the world to ask for anything I want. Right? And I take three steps forward and I approach Hashem. Vayigash elav Yehuda. I approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A very powerful moment. Hakodem HaTfilah Nosein Leiv Shatfilah Hi Hizdabkos Elav Yizbach. And before I daven, I think that the davening is clinging to Hashem. Val Kolpanim Kamosha Nigash V'Holech Al Melech Basar V'Dam. The same way that if I was approaching a king of flesh and blood, right, I would think about my words. I would gather myself. I would make myself look presentable. I would try to be emotionally present. With that same mindset, a Jew approaches davening, that encounter with Hashem. And in that way, he zochet to taste, to experience that sense of presence. Alright, so that's the Vayigash Elav Yehuda. You gotta start with the Vayigash, you gotta be present. It's okay at first, you feel a little bit Elav, I'm talking at God, I'm not talking with God, I'm not talking to God. But over the course of the davening, if I'm working, if it's an Avodah Shebelev, if I'm working hard, right, I'll get those moments, those breakthrough moments, where I tap into that awesome chesed, Ata Kohen La'olam, the greatest chesed in the world, that I said Ata to Hashem. Right? And I can daven. I can daven that I want to be close to Hashem if I don't feel it. I want Hashem, please help me to feel that itself. That longing is itself a form of dveikus. And then hopefully when you finish the davening, you'll feel like, you know what, I did accomplish something. It wasn't perfect, Got to work on my form a little bit more, but I was able to talk to Hashem, and we were upon him, upon him. Yeah, Jonathan, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I think it's like the Maran very often says that even if you sit down for disorders, and like your heart's not fully in it, and like you're just in a different place, even if you say just all you can muster is one single word, like it's still super beneficial.
That's right. Because you're trying to talk to Hashem.
It reminds me of like my favorite line in all of Bahamian is Nashri, Karavashan the book, Karav Ashri, Karavanat. Because it's like closest God to all those who call to him, and then it repeats that, but it says closest God to all those who call to him sincerely.
Right.
And it's like even if like you call it to God, if you want to have a relationship, go through something, find like a different place every like, day, something, like as long as you your heart's in it, like you want it.
Right.
That's what matters.
That's right. I sincerely want to be close to
you. Like you want to want. That's all that matters.
That's right. That's right. I told you my vart on that pasuk. I have a funny vart on that pasuk, but I think it's a good vart. It's from a few years ago. Karav Hashem l'chol karav l'chol asher yikru v'amas. I definitely told it to some of you. Karav Hashem l'chol karav. Karav Hashem l'chol karav. Hashem is close to all who call to him. That's what it means. Karav Hashem, l'chol karav. Right? So then the cynical part of us asks the question. Right? L'chol asher yikru? Really? Everyone, even me? After the things that I did? And how does Hashem respond? Be'emes, yeah. Be'emes, yeah, you. Even you. Even me? Yeah. Yeah, but Hashem, how much of the day do I walk around with my back to you? So now I want to go face to face with you? Should we see Hashem the Negdi Tavid? Now, Vayigash Yelav Yehuda, oh, all of a sudden you need something, you step up. Oh, look who showed up. Now he wants to talk, you know, straight, second person, Nocheach. Hashem says, Karav Hashem L'chol Karav. Anyone who calls to me, I'm there. L'chol, yeah, L'chol, really? Yeah, Bamas. Bamas. Even you. Yeah.
Is this the point in the Rebbe's journey, I guess, that he's trying to, like, distract the people around? Because he didn't bring up anything about their
character. Yeah, so it's interesting. Right, it's interesting. What was the... I didn't get a chance to look in the Dr. Henry Abramson book. What was the context here? Again, this is year three of Drashos, right? This is Tufshin Beis, end of 1941, approaching 1942. You know? I don't know. What do you think he was saying? I think he's probably saying to those who are still davening, right, and you feel like you don't have the presence of mind to be connected for much of the davening, but a few moments of panim al panim is also chashuv. A few moments of, right, a few seconds of atah. And again, believe in the schus of atah, the atah koin la'olam, that even in our situation, realize the chesed that Hashem is providing you, the opportunity to talk to him. We don't have much else. We can still call out to Hashem. We can still say you to Hashem. And you feel like, yeah, but maybe before the war, I was the type of Jew who lived with Hashem. Now I'm so tzibrach and I can't. A few seconds, again, I'm guessing, but a few seconds of connectivity is also a very real thing. So own those couple of moments that you're with Hashem. Okay? All right, let me just